brothers and sisters, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified and exalted, and testifying to his unique oneness, and to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being his final prophet and messenger, and after welcoming you all to the house of Allah azza wa jal, the mighty, the majestic, and reminding myself and you with our ultimate duty and purpose in life, the taqwa of Allah, to be conscious of him. Brothers and sisters, yesterday afternoon, as I was studying along with my students the name of Allah Al-Barr, a name of Allah we find in the Quran, one of his beautiful names, I was hit with a very heavy feeling of deja vu. You know that notion of like, I've been here before? I reflected on the fact that every time I come back to studying this name, Al-Barr, I have this deep wish inside me that more Muslims knew what it meant. And so inshallah, after today's khutbah, a few more Muslims will know what it means. What is Al-Barr? Al-Barr is most loosely translated, or commonly translated, as the most kind. And it is really one of the names of Allah, and they all point to each other in different ways, right? That reminds us of his gentleness, reminds us of his generosity, reminds us of his protectiveness, reminds us of his kindness. It is really about that notion that people often say, even in English, that God is good. Like the epitome of goodness, the ultimate goodness, overwhelming kindness and goodness is what Allah is all about. And the name of Al-Barr encapsulates all of those meanings. But to deepen our appreciation of where it comes from, the Arabs use the word Barr or Barari to refer to deserts, open lands. So you say, I was in the town is congested, I went out to the Barr, I went out to the desert. So something that is vast, right? The vastness of Allah's goodness should come to mind with the name Al-Barr. And also, the Arab used the term Barr, that just the word Barr, the noun, in reference to the shore, like the land, meaning we're out of the sea, we're out of the dangerous, turbulent, topsy-turvy, unstable sea. Even the Quran says, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Their lives are on the line. They're screaming in desperation because they're going through a storm at sea. And then Allah brings them to the Barr. And so it is about stability, this term, and it is about vastness. Now you bring that to Allah Azza wa Jal. He chose the name Al-Barr for himself so that we will have a placeholder, if you will, a representation in one of these beautiful names in our heart, a representation of how vast his goodness is, unimaginably wide, boundless, and how consistent, how stable his goodness is, his kindness is, his generosity is. This is why Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, when he was explaining Allah's name Al-Barr, he says it means that he is the one whose kindness is not interrupted by the corruptness of his slaves. No matter how they treat him, he treats them differently. And this is throughout the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. If Allah were to hold people accountable for what they've done, their misdeeds, their misconduct, he would not have left a living being left on earth. Like if every time someone messed up, the lightning bolt came immediately, there'd be nobody left. But the fact that he defers people, he gives a grace period, he doesn't treat them immediately the way they treat him, it's because he's Al-Barr. That's who he is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He defers them. He defers his anger. He allows for U-turns. You're going in opposite direction for 20, 30, 40. You still can make a U-turn on the path of Allah, azza wa jal. Because why? Because he's Al-Barr. Or even Ibrahim, alayhi salam. You know, when he placed his wife and his newborn child in the barren desert, he said, اجعل هذا بلدا آمن. Oh Allah, make this a safe place for them. It's the wilderness, right? وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Make this a safe land and provide its people, whoever happens to take up residence here, provide them مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, from the produce, the vegetations, the means of life and sustenance. مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Provide them, whomever of them believes in you and in the last day. So Allah Azza wa Jalla responds to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says what? قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرْ. And those who disbelieve. Not just those of them who believe I'm going to provide. And those who disbelieve, meaning I will also provide for them, even if they refuse to recognize me. They refuse to accept me. Refuse to submit to me. Refuse to admit that I exist. I'm still going to provide for them. I'm still going to grant them health and shelter and food and water. Why? Because he's al-barr. Consistent in his kindness. Stable, vast, open-ended. In his grace, in his grace, or his graciousness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's not just disbelievers who reject him. It's also disobedient people who don't comply with him. The non-compliant, the sinful being, that many times the believer finds himself in that state. You know, one person very eloquently, brilliantly, when he's capturing this concept, he says, think about it. You know that moment when you close the door behind yourself to commit that sin? And he saw you, he didn't hear about this, he saw you himself committing that sin. And not just did he see you, he saw your heart non-caring about what he thought, because the door was not for him, the door was for the people. So he saw that you cared more about your image in front of people and had no care of him. In that whole moment, you know what he did? He kept oxygen flowing under that door so that you would suffocate, so that you would not suffocate until you repented, to give you a few more chances, a few more days, weeks, months, or years. That's al-barr, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it is even mentioned, reported from some of the historians, they pass on the story about Musa alayhi salam. They say that one time he brought all the people out to the desert to make a collective dua out of desperation, supplicating to Allah to give them rain because they're all going to die. And they're making dua and they're pleading. And Allah reveals to Musa alayhi salam, and he gathers the people and gives them a sermon, says, Allah has revealed to me that there is someone amongst you that has been defying him for 40 years straight. And so long as he remains in our midst, Allah will never give us rain. So whoever you are, whatever you've done, no matter how many crimes you've been committing, let this be your one good deed, right? Let the one crime you don't commit be the crime of getting us all killed. Just leave. Spare us. And nobody leaves. Everyone's wondering, who's it going to be? Nobody leaves. And then after some time, they receive rain. So Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, I don't get it. No one left. He said, he repented to me, O Musa. And because of his repentance and its sincerity, I granted you all rain. So Musa alayhi salam said, this is amazing. Ya Allah, let me see this righteous servant of yours. All of us were saved because of his righteousness, his transformation. He said to him, O Musa, for 40 years he defied me with his sinful behavior, and I didn't expose him. The day he gets it all forgiven, I'm going to expose him. No, you can't find out who he is. Because he's al-barr, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what happens now? How do we check how much of that name we've internalized? The reality of Allah being al-barr. And al-barr being Allah, right? Always and forever. The first thing you need to do is to never stop asking him. Sometimes we forget, right? No, you need to remember that Allah is as he is because that's who he is, has nothing to do with me, right? Whether I realize it or not, he's always been giving. So I should never stop asking him to give me. It's not like, oh, is Allah going to give me? He's already giving you. You know, as they say, the human being, you know, gets and forgets, and Allah gives and forgives. He's al-barr, ask, keep asking. And know that just because I forgot or I don't know how to identify how he's giving me or going to give me doesn't mean he's not giving me. You know, and the Prophet ﷺ said that when the believer makes dua, invokes Allah, when so long as it does not involve sinfulness or the breaking of family ties, right? Allah always gives them in one of three ways. One of them is he gives you what you asked for immediately, meaning in this life, because this whole life is immediate and short-lived. Or he reserves it for something better. On the day of judgment, you're going to see, I didn't get this, so I could get that. That's why I didn't give it to you. And you're going to be so happy that Allah didn't give you what you asked for in the way you asked for it, in the shallow, short-lived, worldly life, because he just gave you a superior alternative. Or the third way, the hadith says, or Allah offsets something negative, some adversity you're going to face, some misfortune you're going to face. Your dua gets accepted in the form of it offsetting in the skies the fate, a fateful event that was on its way down in the near future. He's always giving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we don't forget that Allah is giving. Sometimes we forget that it's about His generosity, not about my piety. You know, I committed a lot of mistakes. I'm too shy to ask Allah. Who else are you going to ask if you're not going to ask Allah? Do you have alternatives? You think Allah only gives the righteous? Of course, the more righteous you are, the more rightly guided your dua is, for sure. But no one has any other option. So to you, for you to make dua to Allah after you've repented from the sin is a great act of righteousness. That I recognize that you are who you are. You're not held back or you don't withhold simply because of my mess ups. It's not about me. You know, think of Sulaiman alayhi salam, though this is not an example of someone being corrupt. A'udhu billah. But Sulaiman alayhi salam, there's a verse in Surah Sa'd, so powerful. It says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا Sulaiman. We put Sulaiman through a difficult trial. وَأَلْقَيْنَا عَلَىٰ كُرْسِيِّهِ جَسَدًا ثُمَّ أَنَابٍ. And we cast upon his chair, his throne, a corpse, a half body. Corpse, a deformed baby, a miscarriage essentially. And he returned to Allah in that moment. There's a story behind this. The Prophet ﷺ mentions that Sulaiman ﷺ one time, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, he vowed to Allah that I am going to produce 100 sons. All of them will become knights, horsemen, like warriors in the path of Allah to spread Allah's goodness and Allah's justice, right? And so someone said to him, say inshallah. فَلَمْ يَقُلْ inshallah. He didn't say inshallah. Of course, this is a prophet. He was not being stubborn. He just forgot. He got busied with the kingdom. And so he didn't say inshallah. So Allah only granted him one son that did not come full term. It was a stillbirth. And maybe because he's the king, the son of the king gets honored in a symbolic way. They put him on the throne. Here is your heir to the throne, would have been, right? So the verse says, we tested Sulaiman by granting him this event in his life. And so he returned back to us and he said what? Here's what I want. قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِ. He said, oh Allah, forgive me, I messed up. He reviewed about what happened here, right? I messed up by not saying inshallah. Of course, this is not a mess up. This is human. Forgetting is not a sin. But from his great humility, his great piety, he considered it a sin. He said, oh Allah, forgive me. And grant me a kingdom that no one after me will ever have. You have to capture what's happening here. I messed up, and in the same breath, can I have something amazing? This is the believer, right? He doesn't, don't ever get sort of feel the sense of I'm unworthy to ask Allah. Sulaiman is apologizing and aspiring from Allah in the same breath. وَهَبِلِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي. Give me a kingdom you've never given and will never give anybody. Not bigger than my dad's kingdom, Dawood, right? So bigger than everyone. Then he says, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّاب. Because you are the gift giver. No one gives gifts but you. Everything is from you anyway. That's the recognition. Who made my mother's hug warm? You did. I'm not numb to that. Do I have anything except that it's from Allah? No, I don't. Has he ever stopped giving? No, he is al-barr, the vastly, consistently kind. Azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always and forever. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, another important sign that you've internalized Allah's name al-barr is that you commit your life to birr. Birr is righteousness. Loosely translated, it's righteousness. But birr, now that you know what al-barr means, right? It means that you be consistently righteous. You be comprehensively righteous, not selectively, not stop and go. The Quran says that. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قَبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Birr is not that you just simply face east or face west, meaning just the right qibla in the ritual act. No. But birr, Allah says in the ayah, this is called the most comprehensive ayah in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Birr is that you believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the scriptures and the messengers. And you spend of the wealth that you love. That's what the verse says. On your relatives and on the needy and on the orphan. And you are patient through adversity and through poverty and through suffering. and you are truthful in speech. The verse ends by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. These are those who are truthful in their commitment to Allah. Commitment to Al-Barr, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so while we can never be consistent in a perfect way, only Allah is perfect, we earn His love by trying to be a reflection of that beautiful divine quality. And the Qur'an also uses the term birr in a very foundational act of righteousness that by itself needs to be comprehensive. Brother, please turn off your phone, inshallah. Birr al-walidain. The Qur'an calls the treatment we should have towards parents birr, not just kindness, not just obedience, birr. Why? Because it's expansive. It needs to be vast, right? It goes down to even regulating the sounds you make in their presence, right? وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say to them, that's uff. Don't blow out, expressing your irritation. So whether you're young or you're old, whether you're irritated or you're not, if you're a person of birr, it will show up with parents very evidently. That's why even the prophets of Allah, you look at Yahya alayhi salam, and then you look at Isa alayhi salam, both in Surah Maryam, Allah had them declare with Isa, with Jesus peace be upon him, from the cradle, in a miraculous way, of the many things he could have said, Allah made it so that one of them be, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي. Allah has made me a person of birr with my mother. Of course, with both parents, but he only had a mother, right? So this is why he said mother. Birr, though, with my mother. What does birr with your mother mean? The other half of the ayah explains it. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. By not making me someone that is a miserable tyrant. Tyrants are not just heads of states that are ruthless. There could be a tiny tyrant inside all of us that we allow to come out with our parents. What do you think of a tyrant? The stereotype of a tyrant. Someone that does not respond unless they're begged, right? At the feet of the tyrant, begging the tyrant, repeating yourself, that he spare you, right? That he have some compassion towards you. Do you make your parents repeat themselves? You have a semblance of tyranny in you. Or think of the image of a tyrant that is just lounging around all the time, doesn't serve, only gets served. Do you serve your parents or not? Do you sit while they stand or not? That's what the tyrants do. You know the Prophet ﷺ, with his followers, when they stood as he was seated, he said, careful, you almost did with me like the Persians and the Romans do with their emperors, that they stand around while their emperors get to sit. Don't do that with me. Likewise with your parents. Be like Yusuf ﷺ. He was no tyrant. رَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He lifted his parents up on the throne with him during the reunion. You don't just stay sitting on a chair or a couch or your corporate desk when your parents walk in. You get up and you put them in your seat. Or else, this is not birr. You see how wide-ranging birr is? This is why it was used with parents. Because it is a spectrum that you have to account for. So may Allah Azza wa Jal help us better internalize this great name and be in, albeit in our imperfect human forms, be a perfect reflection of it as best as we possibly can. Allahumma ameen.